Okay, welcome to our HTC and YU Tournament Sion Kolo lunchtime Chabura for men. I hope everyone's got their delicious meal together. I want to say thank you to HTC, thank you to the YU Kolo for giving us this opportunity to learn together. I'll share the source sheet again in a few moments. And everyone's welcome to turn their videos on, to send things in the chat, or to just speak up and interrupt. Baruch Hashem, as a teacher, I'm used to people calling out, and our Talmidim all over the city are brave and rambunctious, and so I wouldn't expect anything different in this context. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a Matan Torah event. We're going to talk about a significant moment in the world of receiving the Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu went into the heavens and effectively had an argument with the angels. And this particular moment is exciting because it's out of the Sif Sechaim. We're going to look at a Gemara explained by the Sefer Sif Sechaim. I happen to love this set. I've been learning it for a long time from Rav Chaim Friedlander. Rav Chaim Friedlander was Mashkiach in Panovich Yeshiva, one of the foremost students of Rav Dessler, as we'll see in a moment. And his Divrei Torah are beautiful. He's actually a descendant of the Maharal of Prague. And he'll often reference the Maharal of Prague. Our two primary marmakomos and sources for our Torah today are from Rav Chaim Friedlander and the Maharal. And what we're going to see here is that this is not just any shiur. This is not just a regular piece from Rav Chaim Friedlander. This actually is out of the secret vaults. It was really a shiur. It was really a sicha from Rav Dessler, but he never published it in his sifrei, his svarim ha-machshava, the Mikdav Me'Eliyahu. And so Rav Chaim Friedlander, he used to give this over a lot. He would talk about it in many places. And I'm excited to share it with you. Just to tell you, there's a little note, the asterisk at the top of this section in Chelek Gimel of Rav Chaim Friedlander on the Moedim. Sicha zu nemra mispar pamim bishinuyim v'osafos. Rav Chaim Friedlander gave over this sicha many times in different fashions. Nichtava al pi klitas reshimos marina harav zichron avracha. It was based off of his notes. Chelek miso seha al pi sichas marina harav run of Dessler. And part of the Torah that we're going to see is coming really from Rav Dessler. Shalom nitvasa b'maktav me'eliyahu b'toseves rabba. Rav Dessler didn't really get into this so much. You know, he touches on a few points. And if you're very familiar with Rav Dessler, you might recognize some of the things we're saying. But ultimately, this is a sikha from Rav Chaim Friedlander that we're going to have a chance to learn together. All right, without further ado, let's jump in. I'm not going to share my screen. Everyone has their source sheets. You don't need a source sheet per se. We're not going to read that much inside. But let's jump into this story about Moshe being Allah Lamara, Moshe going up to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. This is based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Peches, Amud Beis, going on to Peites. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi teaches, B'shash al Moshe Lamarim, Amar Lamalachai Asharais, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe arrives and he's ready to receive the Torah, and the angels say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mal Yilud Isha Beinenu. What's this guy doing here? Why is Moshe allowed in Shemayim? Amar Lahem Lekabel Torah Ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, Moshe is coming to receive the Torah. Amar Lefanav, Chemda Genuza Shagan Zalacha. What are you talking about? This is a very special thing. This is a hidden treasure that you have. Teisha Meos Chivishivim V'Arbeim Doros Kodam Shenivra Olam. You created this 974 generations before the creation of the world. You set up the Torah. You created the Torah. Atam Avakesh Litna Levasa Radam. And you want to give this Torah that's been around for so many generations to a Vasa Radam, to a regular guy? Ma'anish Ki Tisgrenu V'Nadam Ki Sifkenenu. And we quote Pesukim. What significance is a person? What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you would think of him, that you would give him the Torah? And we say, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adi Hashem Kol Aretz. God, you're powerful for in the entire land. Your majesty permeates the heavens. Why would you lower yourself, say the Malachim, to give the Torah to Ben Adam? What's going on here? Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe. Hexalim Tshuva. Moshe, you do it. You tell them, you answer their question. They asked me, but I'm not going to answer the question. I would rather you, Moshe, ask. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Misyarani, Shema Yisrafenu, Behevel Shebefiyim. God, I'm scared. I don't know I can do this. They're going to injure me. Maybe I'm going to be burnt by the heat of their breath. Amar Lo, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, Achoz Bikise Kavodi, Vachazer Lehem Tshuva. No, just hold on to my heavenly throne, and I will give you a response. That's the Gemara. It's a Gemara we've likely heard before. There is a continuation where Moshe goes prop for prop, and, you know, detail by detail, all the different things that are in the Torah and how they apply more to mankind than they do to the Jewish people. But it's a funny story. It's hard to understand. As Matan Torah approaches, you know, and particularly today, we've got food in front of us. Maybe we should ask this question really that the angels are asking. What does Torah have to do with this world? Why does Torah exist in this world of physicality? How can the Torah be given to a Baal Chomer, to someone who's so physical? This question is maybe accentuated by an insight I heard from Rabbi Meir Twersky. Rabbi Meir Twersky, a grandson of Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, a great nephew of our in Chicago very own Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University. And he came to speak in Kushner when I was actually teaching there. He was speaking to the students, and he was explaining to them that a lot of our lives are spent not really doing Torah mitzvos. A lot of our lives are spent doing very physical things, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whether it's using the restroom. We spend hours of our day doing very physical things, and yet we're supposed to somehow connect to this lofty spiritual Torah that doesn't seem to fit into this lower world, this Torah that preceded mankind by so many generations. How can we, leading up to Shavuos, connect to Matan Torah? How does the Torah have something to say, some relevance to us? That's not my question. It's not even Rav Twersky's question. That is the question that the Malachim are trying to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, why would you give the Torah to the Jewish people? Why would you give the Torah to mankind? It should stay in Shemayim with us, with the angels. And so we saw the Gemara, we saw that Moshe is set to respond, and in order to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you got to grab onto my Kiseh Kavod, grab onto my chair. Why is Moshe grabbing onto God's chair? How is that going to help? And to understand all of this, we need to look at Rav Chaim Friedlander. And so we're going to move, after this first source, onto page 2, to the Siv Sechaim Amamodim Chelek Gimel, Daf Kuf Chaf, and we're going to move on and on and on throughout his Sicha. But it's important to point out that, Rav Chaim Friedlander says this, that the Kasha is not on Moshe Mamish. Moshe, of any of these individuals, of any Bas of Adam, should be the perfect example of someone who is able to receive the Torah. If you're going to say Torah is so holy, so special, Moshe fasted for 40 days and 40 nights while he was on Har Sinai. He wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, as we see in the Pesukim in Devarim. And Afal Pikin, even so, the Malachim still have a Taina, suggesting that it's not, this Nebuch, this Gornish guy, is not able to receive the Torah. But nobody of a Basar Adav, no Yelud Isha, no child of a woman, should be able to receive the Torah. That is the Taina, that is the argument of the Malachim, and we're going to see how Moshe is able to respond. And the fact that Torah is Kadmi Olam, Friedler does get into, but we're not going to take a look at it. Instead, we're going to focus on where the Malachim are coming from. Why do they ask this question? Because if you look at the end of the Gemara that we didn't look at inside, but it lists a whole litany of mitzvos. And, you know, God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, and Moshe says, angels, did God take you out of Egypt? He says, don't steal. And he says, angels, do you have to steal? Honor your parents. Angels, do you have parents? And so over and over again, Moshe seemingly is showing the angels that the Torah doesn't apply to them. But if that's the case, and that's maybe often the way we understood this Gemara, that the Torah is specifically written for the Jewish people and written for Bnei Adam, then what are the Malachim thinking in the first place? Why would they even have the Havamina, the thought that we should receive the Torah, that they should keep the Torah, that we shouldn't receive it? What is their issue? And that's what we're going to find out right now. Looking in page 2, source 2, Hevdel ben Malachim la'adam ben Malas ha'bechira. What's really the difference, Rav Chaim Friedlander says, between angels and mankind? In order to really understand their taina, their argument against mankind, we got to understand the difference between mankind and angels. Angels don't have choices. They don't have an evil inclination. Angels are always going to do Ratzon Hashem. They're always going to do what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, because there's nothing pulling them in the inverse. There's nothing pulling them toward doing the wrong thing. They don't have a Yetzer Hara. They always follow just one path. V'iluha Adam hu ba'al bechira v'yetzer hara masi soso lahamros pi Hashem. But mankind does have a Yetzer Hara. We do have an evil inclination. We are led astray from the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'afilu hatzadik ha'menatzeach es Yitzro. Eno nimla mehava mina v'asafik harishoni ulai kedai lishmo b'kol yitzhar v'lakto. And even the greatest tzaddik, at some point in time, the most righteous individual, is still going to have that little thought, that inkling of saying, maybe you should violate this. Maybe you should not fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. And even though he's going to reject it, he's still going to have that little tiny thought in his head. And there's a beautiful story of Al-Yashiv Zatzal, who was well known as spending his entire day, his entire life learning Torah. Rav Al-Yashiv used to get up at 3 in the morning and learn the entire day until 11 o'clock at night, sleep for 4 hours, and get up again the next day at 3 in the morning. And at one point in time, one of his grandsons was staying with him, and he was so moved by the experience of seeing his grandfather, seeing Rav Al-Yashiv get up at 3 in the morning. He started telling people, what does it look like when Rav Al-Yashiv gets up at 3 a.m.? At 90, 95 years old, Rav Al-Yashiv's entire life has been spent focused on Torah mitzvot, focused on Talmud Torah, on being a Talmud Chacham, being the Gadol Hador. And at 3 in the morning, the alarm goes off, and Rav Al-Yashiv throws the blanket off of him and then sprints. He runs as fast as a 95-year-old can to the sink and sprays water on his face. Now, Rav Asaf Ben Narsh, one of the Magide Shir in YU's Kol in Israel, Gross, he points out that even at 95 years old, Rav Al-Yashiv, the Gadol Hador, still has a Yetzer Hara. He still wants to go to sleep. He's still not fully awake, and he has to rush over to the sink to fight his Yetzer Hara, to try and conquer it, and really wake up so that he can learn Torah. Even if you've been fighting your Yetzer Hara for years, even if you're one of the biggest tzaddikim in the entire world, Gadol Hador Rav Al-Yashiv Zatzal, still you're going to have a Yetzer Hara. Even the best of mankind is going to have the Yetzer Hara. That's what the angels are aware of, that mankind has a Yetzer Hara, mankind has an evil inclination. And we see this not just to step away from Sifsei Chaim for a moment. We see this in sort of the ideas we have about angels. If I were to ask you to describe an angel, then you tell me that what we know about angels is that angels have just one foot. They don't have 2 feet. They just one, which is why when we daven Shmon Esrei, we stand with our 2 feet together. And the symbolism there is that angels don't move. They're stagnant. They're constant. They don't do anything. Kodesh Baruch Hu says do it, says jump, they say how high. And so that one leg prevents them from moving because they don't need to move. They are the same from the beginning of their existence until the end of their existence. They are sham, they're in shamayim, they are there, they're not moving. However, mankind is very different. Mankind has 2 legs. Mankind has a yetzer hara, an inclination to do bad, but also to do good. And so our 2 legs allow us to move, allow us to progress, allow us to grow, which is why in the Kabbalistic Sfarim, it says that the angels refer to us as being on the aretz. Aretz means lashon ritza, from lashon of running, that we're always running to do various things. And that can either be latov, when you're running to do mitzvot, you run to shul, which is the only time you're allowed to run on Shabbos, or chas v'shalom, we're running to do things that are less important. But that's really the point the angels are making, that even if the best of Bnei Adam, even if Rav Yashiv, even if Moshe Rabbeinu has a yitzhar hara, then they don't deserve a Torah. And let's explain the thought process even further. Sifsei Chaim has a beautiful mashal. Baruch Hashem, I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I don't have any significant addictions in any way, shape, or form. Baruch Hashem, I'm very blessed. I do probably like candy a lot too much, but I think it's not quite an addiction level. But if someone who does have an addiction, it's very hard for me to appreciate their life, for me to appreciate their struggles. I don't have an addiction. The example he gives is to smoking cigarettes, to nicotine. I'm not addicted to nicotine, and so I can't really chop. I can't really wrap my mind around why somebody would smoke. We know that it's dangerous. We know that it's bad for you, and yet people still do it. Why do they do it? I couldn't really tell you. I can tell you that they're addicted, but I don't fully understand what that means. It's only words for me. It's not an experience. It's not something that I'm actually related to. I can't actually understand what they're going through. I can't, if we might say, I can't be nosy but olim chavero, because I don't understand what my chavero is going through. I don't know what it's like to be addicted. Says Rav Chaim Friedlander that's the same thing that happens with the angels, because the angels don't have a yetzer hara. The angels are that single leg. They're not moving. They're not in the same experience of mankind. And therefore, because they don't have a yetzer hara, they look at us, they look at mankind, even Rav Yashin, even Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, what's wrong with this guy? How come he has a Yetzer Hara? We don't have a Yetzer Hara. And because even if if an addict has conquered his addiction, even if this, if the addict is not going to be to succumb to his desire to smoke, but it's still hard for him. They say when you go through the 12 steps program for Alcoholics Anonymous that you're always an alcoholic. Not, oh, I used to be an alcoholic, but you're always an alcoholic, because if you break from your 12 steps, if you break from your abstention from alcohol for even a moment, it could lead to a very, very slippery slope, which unfortunately happens all too often. And so if you're always an alcoholic, I don't cop that. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to smoking. And so for me, it's, yeah, you used to drink. You don't drink anymore. It's not a problem. You used to smoke. You don't. And so to say that you have that desire for alcohol, I just don't get it. It doesn't track in my mind. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's the exact same issue the angels had. The angels looked at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, what's wrong with mankind that they would ever think to do something against your Ratzon, against Ratzon Hashem? Let's look at Rav Chaim further to explain on top of page 3. Hamalachim enam mevinim es nisan habachira roim bezechil l'Hashem. They don't understand what free choice means. They actually think that free choice might even be a desecration of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, of God's name. Ach kamor, hamalachim she'ein lahem bechira, ve'ein lahem hamahester she'ha'yitzahara yotzer. They don't have the hidden experience of where they don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore they have a yitzahara. Rabbi Sasson might get into that a little bit further. I'm not going to elaborate too much. But they don't have a yitzahara. Enam yacholim lahavin eich yesh la'adam afilu hava mina lichyos chaye dimyon. So they don't understand why somebody would ever not do mitzvos. V'la'asos neged ratzon Hashem yisbarach, and to do anything against what God instructs. V'la'chein amr b'koras, mal yadud isha b'neinu. And so they say in their question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would this child of a woman come up here? Why would he be allowed in Shemayim? Afilu al Moshe Rabbeinu, shebachar tamei betov. Even Moshe, who always chose the good right path, he always did the right thing. Until this point, Moshe Rabbeinu had not sinned. Because choice means that you're looking at two potential sides, how is it possible to ever even think to do something against God? They say the fact that you're ever thinking about going against Hashem Yisbarach, the fact that you're ever thinking that maybe I'm going to violate what the creator of the world commanded, the person who spoke and gave me life, that's a Chilul Hashem. That is a desecration of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. When I was Shana Aleph in the Tevariye, I remember learning Das Tfunos, which is a somewhat more esoteric work by Ramchal, the Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzatov. And so, you know, you can learn Maseil Shesharim, you can learn Derech Hashem, Das Tfunos is sort of the next level. And a lot of it didn't necessarily stay with me. It was definitely much more of an elaborate sefer than an 18-year-old should have been learning. But I was sitting in Shir, I had a good Rebbe, and I have a very clear recollection of I believe it was Simon Arbaim, Simon Mem. It was the 40th chapter, if you will, where he points out that a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke and created the world. Why is there light in the world? Why is there a sun or a moon and stars? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu said so. He said, I want there to be light, and there was light. So too, a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want you to daven shacharis. A Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want you to wear tzitzis. So if I opt not to wear tzitzis, Chalila, then I can appreciate what the Malachim are saying. It's a Chilul Hashem. I'm saying the same Kodesh Baruch Hu who spoke and created light is the Kodesh Baruch Hu who spoke and told me to wear tzitzis, and I'm opting not to do that. Or I'm even thinking, I have the Havamina not to do that. That, says the Malachim, is a Chilul Hashem. That is a desecration of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. And so, Chalila, you shouldn't even let Moshe Rabbeinu into Shemayim. You should never even think to give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not convinced. And for some reason, he specifically tells Moshe to respond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't respond himself. He says, Moshe, why don't you answer for them? I'm reminded, I interned with my aunt once, who works in high tech and in consulting. And I worked on a project, and I was working with a colleague of her, Wayne. And Wayne and I were supposed to get onto a call with a potential customer. I kind of did the background research, but I didn't know anything about sales. And we get on, and I'm expecting that Wayne is going to sort of run the show because I'm interning. I've never done this before. And the guy's like, so what do you got for me? And Wayne's like, you know, Ari's really been working on this project. I'm going to let Ari talk. And I remember sitting there thinking, I have no idea what I'm supposed to say. Why would Wayne put me up to this? I've got no clue what's flying. We had the discussion afterward, and eventually I went into Rabbanus, not for lack of trying, but Baruch Hashem, this is much more rewarding. I'm very happy with it. And Wayne definitely didn't help. But Lahavdil, I can imagine a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing the same thing to Moshe. Moshe isn't ready to defend himself against the Malachim. Why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu having Moshe talk? And that, Rav Chaim Friedlander zeroes in, this is in our fourth source. Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, hekser lehem tshuva. Moshe, you respond. Klomar, ani yukol l'zakus b'torah rak, kasher anu mavinu umakirim, b'kushas hamalachim uvetanasam, eich esher sheyiskadeshim shemayim al yadenu. God wasn't saying, Moshe, you respond because I'm lazy, Chalila, and I don't want to respond. Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, Moshe has to respond. Because if Moshe doesn't get this, if we, sitting in Chicago, or wherever we are in the world, in 5781, sorry, I don't understand what the angels were arguing and how to respond to them, then we can't appreciate the Torah. We can't really receive the Torah. That's why we're doing this today. Moshe has to respond because if you don't get it, if he doesn't get it, if we don't get it, then we're lacking this upcoming Shavuos. Because that was a good Taina, because it was a good question, how can we interact with the Torah if we're not as holy as the Torah is, that we haven't been around as long? Specifically the fact that I have the thought process of maybe I shouldn't wake up for Shacharis. I have the thought process of maybe I should speak Lashon Hara Chalila. The fact that I have that thought process and I'm fighting with my Yetzer Hara, in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even more sanctified than if I had just done the right thing, like a robot, like an angel. Doing things like an angel, being an angel with only one desire, one path, one leg, that is not as much of a sanctification as of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it is for me. Little Ari Zucker, who has desires to do all kinds of things that are negative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when I choose to do mitzvos, when I choose to make a bracha, when I choose to sanctify this world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I am even greater level than angels. Then I'm doing even more, and then it's appropriate, and not just okay, but even better for me to receive the Torah than for the angels to have received that same Torah. Lachain, HaTorah haitzas trika li'inasin livnei adam, and so specifically the fact that we're Bnei Adam, specifically the fact that we are children of an Isha, that we're a bus of Adam, specifically because of that, that's why we should have received the Torah. And Rav Chaim Friedlander gets into some details, but I think that we can best illuminate this piece, the importance of understanding that the fact that we have Yetzer Hara, the fact that we are pulled in one direction but choose to go in the right direction, why that's so important, why that's essential for our Matan Torah, we can see it in a specific detail of the story. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't just tell Moshe, oh, go respond to them, but he says, grab onto my chair. Echoes by Kisei Kvodi. Why does Moshe need to hold on to the Kisei HaKavod? Sisa Chaim explains that Moshe needed a makom. Moshe needed a place. A place to feel comfortable, a place where he would be able to respond to the angels, where he had a place that he deserved to be in Shemayim. Not just that we belong on the earth, not just that human beings are stuck on the ground, but that human beings are actually in Shemayim. Where does Moshe fit in? Takas HaKisei. If we look in source 5 from Yechezkel, in Yechezkel, this is going to be the Haftorah on Shavuos. It's not a coincidence that this is the Haftorah of Shavuos. We learn about the vision that Yechezkel Navi has, the chazon that he has of the Kisei HaKavod, that he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heavenly throne. And we see in Pasuk Aleph, Chavav, Ve'al Demus HaKisei, Demus Kimara Adam, Alav Milamala. And on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, on the chair, right there, where Moshe's holding on to, is it a picture of a man. And maybe it's Adam HaRishon, or maybe it's just man, because there are other midrashim that tell us that not Adam HaRishon was on the chair, but that Yaakov Avinu was on the chair. And I would imagine, after 2,000 years, I gave a shiur about genetics last week, and I know a tiny bit about it, but I know for certain that genetics after 2,000 years change a lot. In all likelihood, Adam and Yaakov didn't look exactly the same, but both of their faces are that face that are on the Kisei HaKavod, because when we say that the face of mankind is on the Kisei HaKavod, what we're really saying is that the face of perfection, the face of a perfect, whole individual whose life is fully dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the appropriate way, that's the face on the Kisei HaKavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, grab onto my chair, grab onto my Kisei HaKavod, grab onto the potential that exists within each and every one of you, which is within each and every one of Bnei Adam, to become a perfect individual, a perfect person. And so Moshe finds that place. What's his place? Explains the Maharal, The place that Moshe has in order to argue back with the angels to find his footing is by grabbing onto the throne by saying, look, look at this throne. He holds up a picture to them and says, look, mankind can become perfect. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story from Rav Leibel Eger. Rav Leibel Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, he came from the best of the best, the greatest Yukus in Litvish dynasty. However, Rav Leibel Eger opted to spend time with Hasidim. And so he went to visit Kutsk. And at Kutsk, he was exposed to Hasidus. And upon returning to his father's house, upon returning to Rav Shlomo Eger, he had some chavirim who knew, who were the classic Litvaks. They were poking fun at Hasidim. And they said, no, Rav Leibel, you know, what'd you learn with, when you were the Hasidim? You know, maybe you learned some songs, you learned about a tish, things that weren't so important, things that didn't matter so much as far as they were concerned in the world of service of Hashem. And he said, I learned three things. I learned that God created man, and God created angels. And I learned that mankind has the ability to be even greater than angels. What Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at, by looking at grabbing onto the Kisei HaKavod, he was saying, yes, angels, you're right. Mankind are on the ground, and maybe they have Yetzer Hara, but by the fact that they have Yetzer Hara, by the fact that they're imperfect, but can choose to become better, they actually can reach a level of perfection, a level of holiness that you angels can't even fathom. That you angels are not on the Kisei HaKavod. What is on God's heavenly throne? A picture of human beings. And it's not just that there are pictures of human beings, but I want to share a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thought that I heard from Rav Shlomo Einhorn. Rav Shlomo Einhorn is a significant rabbi and principal in Los Angeles, in Yula. And he always shares Divrei Torah, new Divrei Torah, he likes to say, from 2020 or from whatever year. And so at the end of 2020, every year I try to listen. At the end of 2020, he shared one of his favorite Divrei Torah he heard this past year. And he heard from a Mosholach, I believe, someone who was collecting money. And the gentleman was asking Rabbi Einhorn for money. And he said, I'll give you money, but you have to give me a vort. You got to give me a Divrei Torah. And so he says, okay, fine. We know, we're going to read it on Shavuos, that you're not allowed to create an image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to make it an image of Hashem. And why? Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu care about making an image of him? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the MS, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Malak Kol Aretz Kivoda, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Konai Hakol, Kodesh Baruch Hu is so great, who cares if somebody makes an image that's not accurate? Who cares if somebody makes an image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that doesn't really fit? Why should that bother him? I don't get upset, I don't get insulted when little people, when children, you insult me or call me names because I know that they just don't chop. If someone creates an image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that's inaccurate because they don't understand him, why would that bother Hashem? Mashulk explained, the reason why a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to create an image of him is not because he doesn't want there to be an image of him, but because a Kodesh Baruch Hu already has an image. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has a juke. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an image of himself that he's very happy with. What is that image? You. That image is you. That image is each and every one of us with our neshamos, our chelik, our kamimal. It comes from the Kisei HaKavod. We are sitting on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Our picture is there. All we need to do is strive for it. All we need to do is grab onto that Kisei HaKavod, remind ourselves that we, like Adam Rishon, like Yaakov Avinu, like Moshe and Rav Yashiv, we are able to reach that same level of perfection. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're reminding ourselves of on Shavuos. Thank you so much for learning with me. And now I pass on the shiur to Rabbi Yaakov Sussman, the Chavad Rav. Thank you so much for learning with me, and have a wonderful day.